And let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And we will begin reading in verse 1. James, chapter 1, and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Father, thank you for the word of God that we read. Lord, I know there's so much more here that probably needs to be read by us frequently. But I ask, Lord, that you would help me in this time to be a blessing. You'd help me to preach the word in such a way that would challenge our hearts. And Lord, that we would look forward and we would rejoice and we would meet the challenges of this new year, as much of it as you grant to us, in a manner that would be worthy of the children of God and that would be pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I kind of talked some about the prospects of the new year, and I talked a little bit about a while ago about the about, you know, preparing yourself for whatever eventualities may come. We don't know what's going to happen. If the government keeps doing foolish things, it's going to impact us. There's just no way around it. So we ought to be ready for that. No telling what it was. We see the gas prices. We see everything. So it just makes sense to meet the coming year with some thought of, hey, I need to make sure I'm prepared for what may happen during that time. That's kind of why I talked about that for a few minutes earlier. But one of the things, too, that we need to do is we need to meet the new year in a spiritual manner. It's very easy to meet the new year in a fleshly manner, a carnal manner. But if we're going to meet the new year properly, we're going to have to meet the new year and all of its challenges in a spiritual manner. We are supposed to live as spiritual, not as carnal. We are supposed to walk in the Spirit, yield to the Spirit. And sometimes I think what we do, the problem we have in doing that, is our mindset in approaching it. Many times we have the wrong mindset. We think and we look at things in the wrong manner. Have you ever known somebody who, when a potential crisis comes up, or when a challenge comes up, they automatically begin to list every negative possibility you could probably find? And I'm not against being prepared about negative things, but the question is, how do you meet that? And to meet, and I'm not really talking about negativity, negative thinking or positive thinking. I'm not talking about that from a human perspective. I'm talking about it from a spiritual perspective. About seeing that the day that we face, how we meet it, how we think about it. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now he says to the 12 tribes, these are Jews. These are believing Jews that have been scattered abroad. During this time, many of the Jews, the believing Jews, have been scattered abroad. And remember, at the death of Stephen, they were scattered abroad. There was persecution against James and Peter and everybody. They were scattered abroad. They were scattered by the different decrees of the Caesars and during that time. And so this being written, he's writing a general letter to these believing Jews. These are Christians, but they happen to be Jewish. They're of the 12 tribes. And he's writing them a letter. You know, they have been, because they're believers, they've been cast off by their own countrymen. I want you to think about this. They've been cast off by their own countrymen. Even today, if an Orthodox Jew becomes a Christian, if they get saved and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are treated as if they are dead. They are shunned. And that happens in our culture today, in the world today, and in the Jewish culture, particularly in the Orthodox Jewish cultures, because they have so roundly and so clearly rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And thankfully there will be a day when all of Israel, what that remnant of Israel, will all come to faith in Christ and praise the Lord for that. But right now it's a tough time, and it was tough for them. So they were not only cast off in the sense of having to deal with being separated and ostracized by their own families in many cases, and their neighbors and their friends, but also they had to deal with the persecutions by the Roman governments, both as Jews and Christians. So they didn't have a terribly great day to look forward to every day. They had to live in a world where it wasn't really that great to live in for them. But he says to those 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And then he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That means a lot of them. That's talking about temptations and trials and tribulations and those things like that. Count it all joy. Now, how can you count it joy? Well, first of all, the only way you're ever going to count anything that happens in this world joy after a proper sense and be able to get through it in a way that will honor God is you've got to be saved first. If you're not saved, if you're not truly one of the brethren, if you're not truly a child of God, this world is going to destroy you. It doesn't even have to try. Your own inclinations will lead you to destruction. That is why you have to be saved. And from the youngest child here to the oldest person here, you have to understand that your nature will lead you into that which is wrong. Isn't it funny? Even as little kids, you get in trouble not even trying, don't you? You're not trying to get in trouble. You just think of something to do, and then all of a sudden you find out you ain't supposed to do that. Or you know you're not supposed to do that, but you just want to do it anyway, right? You just want to see. You just want to try it for yourself. And most of the world is in great trouble because of that. That just, that lust, that desire to do what I want to do gets more people in trouble. And some people have different temperaments, and some people are more rebellious than others at some points, but it always comes with a cost, doesn't it? Because that's the cost of sin. We read in here, it says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That means the only way you can ever go, the only way that you can get eternal life is through Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way, no other hope for you. You have to humble yourself, admit your need for a Savior, and call upon Him and Him alone to save you. That's something you individually have to do. Nobody can do that for you. But I can guarantee you, if you're not saved, there's no way you can accomplish what we're talking about here today. But he says, my brethren, he's talking to brethren, to Christians, he says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Now that doesn't mean that it's necessarily joyous. He's talking about you making a spiritual decision about the circumstance that is before you. So how do you count it all joy? How do you count it all joy? Well, first of all, you count it all joy by knowing there's a purpose for it. There's a reason why things are going the way they are. Whether worldwide, governments and politics, or whether individually. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there's a plan in place. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a will. So none of this is taking God by surprise. We talked about the vaccine mandates, and I cannot tell you the number of times that I have had people ask me, is this the mark of the beast? Is this the mark of the beast? No, it's not the mark of the beast. But it's certainly preparing the world for the mark of the beast, I would say. Can you ever remember a time in human history where the entire world, governments of the entire world, have banded together to try to force the entire world to accept something like this and to comply with it? And they're still trying to do it? Even though all their efforts to curtail this virus have failed, they're still trying to force everybody into it. And they're using fear and intimidation and government power to do all this stuff. So we see, and we see a large amount of the world complying with it, and we see all of that, and we say, wow, it could really get to the point to where they could require something. So that no man could buy or sell. Unless they have a particular mark or something. Something that they have to have. I mean, this is the type of stuff that they're doing. And you have politicians and news media and all kind of people just sitting there rah-rah cheering them on and talking about how wicked everybody is that isn't complying with that. Yeah. I never thought I would deal with this. I really didn't. But we can say, but God knows what's happening. But we have to meet it in a godly way. You know, I've had to meet the vaccine mandates in a godly way. I had to make a godly appeal to my company to try to get an exemption, a religious exemption to it. Because of my beliefs, and so I did that, and thankfully, so far, they've granted me the exemption. Then they turned around and sold my company, so I don't know who the new people are going to grant the exemption or not. I have no idea. So I'm still looking forward to facing that deal with that and everything deal with that issue. But I have to do it in a godly way. I have to appeal to them godly in that manner, whatever the case they may be. I don't know what they're going to honor or not, and how long they're going to honor it. I have no idea. But what do I do? I can sit there and wring my hands. I can cry. But God knows what's going on. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Do you really believe that, Christian? Do you believe that God really has a plan and a purpose for you? Do you believe that God knows what's happening in this world today? That God understands what your needs are? God knows what generation we're in. He knows that. But He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Although this may be bad, if I meet this in a spiritual manner, something good will come from it. But not just something good for me here and now, but something good for me all eternity. I mean, God's not giving out pieces of candy. Well, we like candy, don't we? Good sweet stuff. Love me a piece of candy. Like that sweetness, like that instant gratification. That's good. I like that. You know, that's the way we deal with our lives. We want boom, instant gratification. I want to feel good now. I want to feel this now. But God says, count it all joy. Look forward. Trust me. Meet this in a spiritual manner. And what you get from it won't be short term. It will be eternal. It will last forever. It will meet your need now and stay with you for all eternity. Meet it in a spiritual manner. Look what he says here. He says, count it all joy. That means you have to say, hey, God's in control. God has a plan. This will turn out for my good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God saved me for a purpose. And therefore, this what is happening is, just like Paul, he was in jail and he was there. And he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, what? Being thrown in jail, being thrown in prison, being mistreated, have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The world meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. Something good came out. Something eternal, something everlasting. Joseph said to his brothers, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Think about that. And so, well, let's look at what he says here. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. That means you have to count it. You have to make that accounting yourself. You have to reckon this. You have to put it on the account. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. All right, temptation comes, tribulation comes, trial comes, and you say, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing. This isn't pleasant, but I know you have a plan. I know you have a purpose. And then he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying, the test of your faith, it works patience, it works strength, it works endurance. It works a long view of being able to see that, hey, I'm not just worried about what's happening this moment, what's going to happen. There's good coming from it. That God's doing something here. That I can trust Him. When you go through a trial or a tribulation, and you trust the Lord, and you find out that you can trust Him, that allows you to be able to go through more. That allows you to realize that, hey, dealing with things after a spiritual manner is better than dealing with it after a carnal manner. That the trial of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this, and then he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have its perfect work. In other words, go all the way through. See it all the way through. Don't balk. Don't quit. Don't give up. Follow it all the way through. Let patience have her perfect work. In other words, you start, you say, I'm going to trust God. God has this under control. God knows what to do. And so I'm going to trust in the Lord and do good. And I'm going to take a step forward. And when if it starts getting worse, I'm not going to quit. I'm just going to keep doing what God says to do. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep on. We have to get to the point to where we deal with the world spiritually and say, hey, God is in control. God has control of this, and when I come through this, it will be good. The end result will be good. The end result will be good. You know, they have places where they dive for pearls. And they go down and they dive deep for those pearls. And some of these people, they have learned over time how to hold their breath for long periods of time. They have learned to do that. Have you ever tried to hold your breath? Have you ever got underwater? And you get water up your nose, and in your ears, and in your eyes, and your eyes are irritated, your ears don't feel right, and your nose, you got all that water in there, and it just, I don't like that. And then you get in there, And all of a sudden now your lungs start feeling like there's pressure in them. Because you want to exhale and inhale. And you're holding your breath. And after a while, it starts to hurt, doesn't it? Do you know every one of those people that dive down for those pearls, they start the same way? But through use, through time, through effort, their body's adapted. And we can adapt spiritually to the issues. If we see it through, we can say, hey, I can do this. And they found out that they could dive 20, 30, 40 feet down on a breath of air and stay down there long enough. I just dropped that. Stay down there long enough to take a knife, pull an oyster off the reef, or open it down there, cut that pearl out, take it on. People did that. I watched people in Haiti when we were taking some of the Haitian boat people, the people that drowned at sea because they were trying to get away from Haiti. Now they don't have to go to the sea. They just go to Mexico, come right on through. But we, when I was in the Navy, there were a bunch of Haitian boat people that were trying to make it to the United States on a boat trying to escape Haiti. They died. We took the bodies there. We recovered the bodies. We received a distress call, and we took the bodies back to Haiti. And there's people sitting there. These people come out in these little dugout canoes and everything like that from Haiti, and little boats and little things that they made. And they'd be out there. And some of the people would start throwing coins overboard, and these people would die for those coins. And you'd watch them go deep, deep. Shark-infested waters, and they're diving for coins because of the poverty there. To them, to get a U.S. quarter or a U.S. nickel or even a U.S. penny, that was money for them. And they dive as many times as you throw stuff off there. Because they saw the necessity of it. It was worth the effort for them. And we've got to get to the point where we see the end. We see what God wants to do. We trust in His plan. We trust in His purpose. And we say, it's going to be worth it. It's worth it. That's a spiritual manner of looking at trials and tribulations. Whatever we have to go through in 2022 to serve God is going to be worth it. He says that, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, that should be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I could talk for a long time about several other things here, about the person of low degree rejoicing in that he's exalted, and the rich that he's made low, and understanding our place in things. But that comes with understanding God's purpose, God's plan, and meeting things, whatever comes our way, saying, hey, this came to me today for whatever reason. God allowed it, and therefore he has a plan, he has a purpose. That is a spiritual outlook. One thing that'll do, it'll keep you from spending your days in the mully grubs. I don't understand why, but I know God has a plan. I know God has a purpose. He says in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Isn't that amazing? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And when it comes to temptation to evil, that doesn't come from God. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God's never tempted by evil. God doesn't tempt us to evil. If you're tempted to do wrong, that's from the devil. That's from your own lust. Every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So he'd be careful about that. But when trial and tribulation, a temptation comes from the Lord, it's a temptation to godliness. It's a challenge before us to meet it in a spiritual manner, to think about it properly. My goal this morning is just to ask you to meet 2022, whatever God gives us of it, in a spiritual manner. When the trials and the troubles and the sorrows and the challenges come for this year, how will you meet them? Will you count it joy? Will you say, God allowed it and God has a purpose, God has a plan? If you go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. In other words, there's a need, a plan, right? If God allows us to go through periods of heaviness through manifold temptation, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold which perishes. Gold perishes. There it is. We look at it. We greatly rejoice, though now for a season, by the way, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But this world, this time, it's just a season, folks. It's not forever. Oh, we want to think like it's forever, but it's not. It's just a season. But how do we meet it? We count it joy. We say, hey, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a reason I'm going through this. And so therefore I will rejoice in the Lord. I may be in heaviness. But if I'm in heaviness through manifold temptations, it's if need be, if it's God deems it as necessary for some reason. Maybe it's to save some lost soul. Maybe it's to encourage some other Christian. Who knows? But whatever the present purpose is, it has eternal value, especially when Jesus comes. And we learn how to live a Christian life, how to meet all these challenges in a godly way. We learn and we see the goodness of God, not just in the world to come, but in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. That scripture that we have, meeting this world in a spiritual manner, that's what we need to do. Trials come, tribulations come. No, it may hurt. And we may be confused. But I can take that hurt to my God, and I can get on my face before my God and pour out my heart to Him. I can take my confusion and my ignorance and to God and say, Lord, I need Your help. I need wisdom. I need to understand. And He gives it when I ask in faith. Have you ever thought about that? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The person that asks in faith is the person that goes to God seeking wisdom, saying, Lord, I know this is your part of your purpose and your plan. I need your wisdom so I can get through this and honor you, and I can be the Christian I'm supposed to be. I need to get to this in a godly way. I need to know how to meet this in a spiritual manner, in a Christian manner. The person that's double-minded, that's the fellow that's saying, Lord, give me wisdom so I can find out if I'm going to follow you or not. Lord, let me understand. Give me understanding of what's going on so I can make my decision as to whether I'm going to move forward and follow you. That's no wonder God says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Something to think about. I'm sure glad when Jesus got to Gethsemane that he didn't pray to get away from the cross or pray to get the strength he needed to find out whether he was going to go to the cross for the wisdom. He prayed to get there, didn't he? That's what we need to do. We need to just pray to get where God wants us to be. That's prayer of faith. Praying. And you know, the Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. How are you going to meet the coming year? Are you going to meet it spiritually? When the trials come, and they will. When the hardships come, and they will, most likely. When the temptations come, to veer to the right or the left, they will. How will you meet it? Will you count it all joy? Will you count it as an opportunity? You know, there is a passage of Scripture. I'm trying to remember where it is off the top of my head. It just popped in my head. But it talks about how the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through all the earth seeking for somebody. So that God can show Himself strong. I'm trying to remember the passage of Scripture. If somebody's got a means to look it up, the eyes of the Lord went to and fro. I think it's in 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Chronicles. I'm not sure, but I'm trying to remember what it was. Brother Larry, you remember the verse I'm talking about? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth, seeking someone whose heart is perfect, that He got to show Himself strong for them. Something
too, man.
I don't think it's in Job. I think it's in 1st, 2nd Chronicles. But I can't remember. But God is looking for people who are just make up their mind and saying, you know what? This life in front of me, this circumstance in front of me, this situation in front of me, it's God has allowed it and I don't understand it. I don't know how I'm going to get through it without His help. But I'm just going to go forward. What's the verse?
2 Chronicles.
Which one? Second?
2 Chronicles 16:9.
2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. God is rebuking Hananiah the seer, is rebuking King Asa at that time because instead of relying on the Lord, he relied on the foreign nations, the king of Syria. So the Lord is looking for people to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. What is a perfect heart? Well, when the trial and the tribulation comes, what do? We don't run to the world. We don't run to our own devices. We trust in the Lord and do good. We say, hey, I don't see how I'm going to get through this, but I'm going to continue to do what I know is right, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to meet it in that way, and I'm going to count it all joy. I don't know why I have to go through this, but I know God's going to bring something good out of it. Amen. To meet 2022, this year, whatever God gives us of this year, in a spiritual manner. That ought to be your New Year's resolution. Well, if God grants me this new year, how am I going to meet it? I look back on last year and I say, boy, I see where I failed there. I see where I should have trusted God here. I see where I should have stayed the course there. I see where I shouldn't have went there. I shouldn't have done that. Now's the time to confess those things before God and then move forward, isn't it? My brethren, count it all joy, he says, when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, being fully persuaded of it, that the trying your faith worketh patience. God has a plan. There's a reason for this. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing means you lack nothing spiritually you need. You have everything. You've gone through the fire and you found out that the grace of God is sufficient to abide the flame. Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know every heart here today. You know what we have faced before us. And you know, Lord, how we are want to behave. You know how we've behaved in time past when trials and tribulations come. You know our weaknesses, you know our fears. But Lord, help us to just to meet this year spiritually, to just count these things joy, knowing that the tribulation of our faith worketh patience. It works strength, endurance. It gives us what we need, that we can get through it. Help us to go all the way through, to trust you all the way through every trial. Lord, help us to realize that this world we live in is the one that we were born into. We had no choice in that, but you knew. And these trials and the things that happen in this world are outside of our control, but they don't surprise you at all, though they surprise us. That you knew that this was a path that we would have to walk. So Lord, help us to walk it in faith, to walk it spiritually, to trust you and do good. Help us, we pray, if this is the last year on this earth, let it be the year that we walk with God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.